Good morning, everyone. Coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, it is Saturday morning's hottest streaming media political talk show, Inside the Eye, live with The Fedge. Did I just hear someone tell a standing member of Congress that if it were up to them, they would dump the Israelis tomorrow? Sounds like something you might hear right here on Inside the Eye Live.
The Fetch. What a man. Oh, my God. You have to listen to that show. He was brilliant. I didn't know he had gonads of steel like that and a mind like a frigging razor. I didn't realize he was so clear. He cut through this that cognitive dissonance that is going on in the whole Patriot music movement.
And now it's time for Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is The Fetch, and you are live Inside the Eye. Today's date is Saturday, July the 7th in 2018, and a good Saturday morning to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and of course a good late afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM, and now our live stream on YouTube. May all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Amman is, I guess you could call, comfortably warm, with highs hitting 88 degrees with variable winds of around 11 miles per hour coming out of the west-northwest. All of that makes for a refreshing day when you get to stand at least in the middle of one of these wind gusts. But overall, you could call today a lazy summer day as we head into what is generally superb evenings here in Amman. It is not going to get a whole lot cooler than, let me go back. Temperatures should start to drop shortly as we head towards sunset by the end of the show today, which is 8 o'clock in the evening. Locally, the temperature should be right around 80 degrees. And by 10 o'clock, we're actually going to be down to 72. But it's not going to get a whole lot cooler than that. We're going to get only down to 69 today, tomorrow morning, as we head into another week of basically the same weather, a little bit hotter, a little bit colder, but basically the same weather pattern over the next week. That is not the case in my hometown of Los Angeles. Actually, it's quite a different story. There's been quite a strong heat wave that's been baking Southern California. On Saturday, temperatures are going to hit something above 110 degrees in some areas across the area and setting all-time highs in several places. High temperatures are going to exceed, I guess, 100 degrees in actually downtown LA. I just did a check on my old zip code, and it's going to be 102 degrees, basically just north of downtown. And once you get into what we call the valleys on the other side of the hills, we're looking at 107 to 110. Which is very, very warm. That's kind of like Saudi weather. So it's going to be very, very hot, obviously, for those people over there. What else? Apparently, it was 111 degrees, okay? 111 degrees, I don't know. I'd have to figure it out. But that's probably like 40 degrees, 41 degrees C, something like that. Yesterday at University of California, at what we call UCLA locally, University of California at Los Angeles. And UCLA is really only about 5 miles, maybe 5-6 miles, maybe, I would guess, in from the Pacific Ocean. And usually you get a very nice breeze coming off the ocean, what we call the onshore breeze. And so normally it's very, very pleasant in this part of Los Angeles, but they've been suffering a little bit. Apparently, above the, as we say, on the other side of the hills in LA, they were hitting 117 degrees. So summer is really starting to bite across various areas here, to say the least. And that's, I guess, a good thing. It's summertime, but I just have to wonder really what's going on with all of the, the geoengineering that's going on, and just how much geoengineering is having effect on the weather patterns in Los Angeles. Just kind of curious. Anyways, it's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live again for Saturday, July 7th, 2017. I'd like to welcome everybody. Good morning to all of you listening again in the United States and Canada and, of course, elsewhere around the globe. We are live streaming on YouTube. So what you can do is you can go to YouTube and just do a search on Inside the Eye Live, or you can go to the Inside the Eye Live page. Just subscribe. Get notes so that you can get. We're going live pretty much two times a week now. Show's doing okay, I guess. We're having fun doing it, I guess. That's the important thing. But it's getting out there, so we want to appreciate all the people that have done that. What else have I got here? I woke up this morning, and I was labeled again today this morning, you guys. And we're going to talk a little bit about labeling. We've got some Tucker Carlson. We've got some Jim Trafficant quotes coming up later in the show. We're going to talk a little bit what's going on in the Middle East with Syria especially. And just kind of cruise around for 3 hours. We do not have any guests today, so it's going to be your typical Fetch rant show. And I know that disappoints some of you, but not everybody. So sit back, relax. For me, I need to get a nice cold beer after this or something, because now that I've shut the windows because the street noise, the mosque, and everything else that goes around, it's hot in here. It's like an oven right now. And that's just unfortunate, but that's the way it goes. You know, I woke up this morning and went through comments, social media, and all that stuff, and I was called today something that really disturbed me. I'm joking, guys. I'm really not disturbed. But I was called an anti-Jewish bigot. And I'm looking at this statement, you know, and I'm like, why is it that the left, the Israelis, the Jewish people, the apologists for them, why can't they just call me anti-Jewish? I can accept that. I don't have a problem with that. We can go ahead and accept being anti-Jewish. There's nothing about Jewish culture, society that interests me. Their policies I find tyrannical. I find them seeking to destroy the constitutional values of the United States, to destroy the general egalitarian ways of the West within our own nations. And that goes for the UK, which finds people being thrown into jail for daring to question the Holocaust. But they, of course, that's the main reason they're being jailed. But they find like telecommunication laws that they, quote unquote, have been guilty of violating. But the reality is they create these laws to tyrannize people because of their political views. We see the same happening in Germany, France, even Russia has passed anti-Semitism denial laws and stuff like that. You can't question history, even though the history is clearly fraudulent to anybody with half a brain that's looking nowadays. And of course, in the United States, it's a huge problem. You know, we still have our freedom of speech. We still exercise our freedom of speech. A lot of people, though, do not, quite frankly, mainly because they are fearful of being attacked, of being ostracized, of maybe having their careers destroyed. In fact, there was a story that came out today, Lockheed Martin. They've just been asked to investigate a particular employee because, quote unquote, he was expressing terms that are white supremacist. And again, why are we allowing governments? Why? Because the government is us. Theoretically, why are we allowing companies to go after our own people in this nation simply because Jewish people are really not happy with what they're hearing as a reaction to their policies? And today I'm called an anti-Jewish bigot. And why do you need to use the word bigot, guys? Look, we're openly telling you we're anti-Jewish. There's nothing wrong with that. We have political views that differ from Jewish views. I don't see how in today's America, with the internet and advanced communication technologies and information that could be literally gotten at the speed of light, why is it that we continue to cower before the altar of Jewish intolerance? Folks, I have a right to my views. I have a right to voice my views. That is what is enshrined in our Constitution of the United States. And, of course, this is an extended Independence Day weekend. I guess with the holiday being on this Wednesday, it's kind of an extended weekend over there in America. You know, we have rights. And if we don't exercise these rights, then you're just going to have them taken away. For me, if you're going to be up in Canada, or you're going to be some Jew down in New Zealand and Australia, or you want to apologize for the Jewish state, it's not the Zionist state, it's called the Jewish state, and you want to apologize for the Jewish state, well, that's your choice, but we have a choice to confront you. We have a choice to combat what you are doing. We believe that the major problem inside of the United States is largely this Israeli/Jewish-centric monstrosity in our governments. To give you an idea, you know, just back in May, you had the state of Louisiana. And Louisiana is, I think, the home also to David Duke. And Louisiana's governor, his name is John Bel Edwards, he issued an executive order. And this was just late, to basically closing out May of this year. And what it did is it prohibits anybody within state agencies from executing contracts with businesses involved in the anti-Israel BDS boycott, which is, of course, boycott, divestment, and sanctions. And that's in, again, Louisiana. And they're the 25th state to do this. Now, the Times-Picayune back then reported something to the effect that the order directs the state commissioner of administration, who is a Jay Jardine, but it would just be a title, I guess the title, to examine existing contracts with companies to determine if they are currently boycotting Israel or supporting those who did. Now, since when are we Americans being told that we must support a foreign nation? Why is it that the Jewish people in America think it is so important to impress upon the American people that Israel comes before your own nation and the will of the American people? You do not need to create laws if you are not doing anything wrong in this case, if you're the state of Israel. There are very many valid reasons why we should boycott Israel, not the least of which is Israel is an enemy of the American people. It is an enemy of the United States. It is really an enemy of humanity. When you really break down Israel and the people behind this monstrosity, these people are enemies of humanity. Now, apparently, if you're a small fry, you're making less than $100,000 in contracts in Louisiana, you're not going to have to worry about this BDS too much. But here's the thing. The quote coming out of the governor's office in Louisiana said, "The state of Louisiana unequivocally rejects the BDS campaign and stands firmly with Israel." No. The state of Louisiana didn't do jack regarding this. This is one governor with one pen deciding for himself as little Mr. Dictator, who's clearly bought and paid for by the Jewish elite in America, who has done this. It's not the Louisiana people. Don't even think for a second Louisiana supports this. And it's like this throughout America. We see time and time again now diktats by tyrannical government leaders telling us what we should and shouldn't do. He says on here, the BDS movement promotes financial, of course it does, financial, academic, and cultural boycotts of the racist state of Israel. That's true. Ostensibly, it is nonviolent. It is nonviolent. And again, it is against not just the, well, it's mainly against the Israeli occupation. But he says here, I'm trying to find the exact quote. The United States, this is a governor who just decided by the flash of a pen. He says, and by affiliation, Louisiana, hey, there's a stretch for you, have benefited innumerable ways from our deep friendship with Israel. First of all, that statement, folks, is not coming from an American. That statement is a propaganda piece from some Jew somewhere sitting next to that governor. Plain and simple. I don't want to hear a bunch of crap about how, oh, it's Zionism, Dennis. No, this is some Jewish guy sitting next to the governor telling him what to say, telling him what to write. That's not an American talking point. How have we benefited from Israel? We have lost hundreds of billions of dollars supporting the cesspool. They attacked us on 9/11. They probably were the ones behind the Lebanese barracks, Marine barracks bombing, which where we lost 260 some odd Marines in Lebanon and Beirut in 1982. They clearly attacked the USS Liberty. How is it that we are $21 trillion in debt? Our troops are over there in frickin' Syria doing what? Protecting what? The Greater Yanan plan for Israel, this great expansionist idea from the crackheads that run the Jewish culture and economy? Look, we're $21 trillion in debt. What part of we are losing like nothing you have seen by doing business with Jews? Plain and simple. Now, you can apply Jews here to mean what you want. I consider it America an occupied government. I don't consider it to be a Zionist necessarily occupied government, but yes, it is. But remember, folks, and you will get people trying to convince you apparently more and more about this, that it's not true. But look, there is no Zionism if there's no Judaism. Zionism is an expression of Judaism, folks. Every year, Jews will sit there and pray next year in Jerusalem. Next year in Jerusalem. That's not a Zionist issue. That's a Judaic issue. And guess what? They're delusional. They could leave tomorrow. Welcome. Get the heck out. But they're not going to leave. So therefore, it's all a fraud. The whole religion's a fraud. The whole religion is nothing but a political mandate to control and oppress everybody else because, hey, we're chosen. That's the message we're getting from the Jewish people in America. Here they're saying you don't have a moral right or a moral choice in this matter. You must support the Israel. You must support Israel. You must support Jews. How is that American? He goes on to say, I am pleased, that's the governor saying, that Louisiana, no, it's you, but still, that Louisiana will join what is now a critical mass of states. Remember that word, critical mass, because that's what we're fighting for. But he says a critical mass of states in supporting our closest ally. They aren't our closest ally. They are the great treason within. And there's no other way that you could discuss it than other than treason. I don't need you to tell me it's Zionist. I don't need you to tell me anything. I will just notice that these people are Jews. And if they're Zionist Jews or real true Jews or whatever Jews, remember Zionist Jews. Zionist is nothing but an adjective. The noun is the Jew. They're Zionist Jews. So therefore they're Jews. Remember how the language works here. They're not Zionists. They're Zionist Jews. They are not to Coretta. They are real, true Torah Jews. There are whatever below Jews. That's how it works, folks. And no amount of blathering nonsense is going to change this. And you're going to be called all kinds of things. If you are anti-Jewish, that is fine. Just say, do I not have a right to my views? Are you telling me that that view over there, the flooding of my nation, supports my nation? Is that in my interest? Is telling people I must buy or support Israel, is that in my interest? No, it's not in your interest. So any type of law of this nature is un-American. Okay? It's tyranny through the back door. And it should be thrown out. And quite frankly, I've come to the conclusion that the treason inside the United States is unbelievably entrenched, to put it nicely. Unbelievably entrenched. And, you know, the problem is that no one's firing back. You know, people are being fired from their jobs because they, quote unquote, wear a Make America Great Again shirt somewhere on campus. Or they'll get harassed because they wear something that the left doesn't like. Everybody's a Nazi nowadays, if you've noticed. Everybody is just a Nazi. Yeah, we're all just Nazis. What they're trying to do is create, and Jews have had 60 years, 60 years of programming, this negative connotative word called not see. And yet those of us who really are not sees see the problem very well. We're very lucid. We understand precisely the danger facing the Republic. And it's not just America. It's true of Germany and Sweden and the United Kingdom and France. Again, I don't have a lot of faith in France, but still. Canada, of course. You know, I remember, by the way, growing up, you know, and we used to have such great relations with Canada. You know, you just drive up. It was bragged about. This was the largest open border without any checkpoints. You know, it was like it was something to be heralded, something to be celebrated about the friendship between two kindred people. Now, let's be honest. You Canadians were becoming Canadian. I'm not talking about the new migrants, but the Canadians were becoming Canadians because you were like supporting the British. We understand that. That's why you kind of went up to Canada, because you lost the war. But no, really, still, the friendship has always been there. And for us to continually digress down this road of abject intolerance, and the intolerance is coming from Jewish people, telling us what, again, we can and can't do, what we can and can't say. Folks, it's got to end. It has to stop. You have to push back, because they just won't stop. This is a one-way parasitic machine, and it will not stop until the host is completely dead. It is a situation, again, of a parasite and a host in this regard. It's not up for this governor to tell us who we can and can't talk to. And remember, they said critical mass. He says, oh, this is important, critical mass. 25 states now have enacted laws or some type of referendums or initiatives about anti-boycotting or anti-BDS. Folks, this is a major problem. Rothstein, he's the CEO of Stand With Us. Again, Jews don't work, folks. They just work in these NGOs. He expressed optimism about this significant development in Louisiana. Excuse me, can I call Rothstein a Jew? Am I allowed to do that? Really? Do I have to call him a Zionist? Do I have to call him something else? Or can I just call the guy for what he is? He's a Jewish guy who wants to impose himself upon the rest of us. It's plain and simple. It's not that complicated, guys. It's, hey, look, he's winning the battle. He's saying, look, screw you. That governor, we bought him. You didn't buy him. He works for us. He just signed an executive order. He tells you people what to do on behalf of us Jews. That's the way it's working. This is like the mafia telling the government, and the mafia owns the government, so the government just tells you what to do because that's what the mafia wants. We're talking about a massive, I guess, criminal syndicate called Judaism. Maybe. You have to give it some thought. Says here, governors of all 50 states have signed a declaration. 50 states, folks. How many states are in America? 20? No, there's 50. And 50 states have signed a declaration condemning the BDS movement as antithetical to American values. No, telling Americans what they have to do, who they have to buy for, who they must support, that is antithetical to American values. This whole declaration, this whole anti-BDS movement is antithetical to American values. Look, Israel does not deserve our support. It's an enemy of the American people. I don't care how much lunacy is out there. Jews are the chosen people, and God chose them. And chose them for what? To make complete idiots of themselves and destroy the planet? Is that what they chose them to do? I mean, very frustrating, really. It's become very frustrating watching all of this stuff. Anyways, we're going, got about 3 minutes to go. Again, this is the Fetch Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. We are live streaming again on YouTube. You can go to the YouTube channel, Inside the Eye Live, Inside the Eye Live on YouTube. You could catch that. And again, we'll be here for the next 2.5 hours. A 3-hour show here. Telephone lines are going to be open, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. And you know, I should have gotten grabbed that tea when I had my chance. I didn't do that. Let's see. What else is kind of going on out there besides, I just want to say, guys, we got a cool cat story. I have an unbelievable cat story on the cat report. It's hot here. Coming up in the next 10 minutes or so. Unbelievable what happened last night. I didn't even sleep last night because of problems with cats in the neighborhood. Both with one eye, another cat. And basically, I didn't get any sleep. So stay tuned for that for sure. And you're gonna definitely want to hear that, especially for the cat report people. And again, what else? Telephone lines are open. Chat room, insidetheilive.com. That's insidetheilive.com. And you can click on the live chat button. I actually haven't gotten in there yet to say hello. Let me try to do that now. It's not loading properly here, but I say Nick Donin, Blackbird 9 is there, George, Umberto 1010, Equus Center, to name a few, Frontreal. Again, so that's all pretty good. So going into a break, everybody. Catch Inside the Eye Live, Intelligent Media. And welcome back, everybody. It is indeed the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, Intelligent Media, for the politically aware right here on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. And again, we are listener sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. And so what we ask you to do is always make your way over to revolution.radio. And again, many ways to support the network. But obviously, without this platform, we don't really have a whole lot of ways to reach what we reach. So again, we ask you to focus a little bit on where you're sitting. But no, really take some time to do what you can to support Revolution Radio. That because without Revolution Radio, we don't have a means really to reach the people we do. So we do rely on the network a lot. They're very supportive of the show, have been from day one. That support has actually increased as we've had more and more problems with Skype and other issues. So again, we ask you to do what you can to support that network. Again, in revolution.radio, you've heard some of the commercials there, the advertisements, many ways to support. You can subscribe to the archives, where you can actually pick up this show. And this show, actually, they have probably one of the best archives. We have a pretty good archive, but they have one of the better archives. When we have problems, we usually go back and we get the archive from Revolution Radio ourselves. So they have a very superior technology in how to record everything. So it's a great place to pick up all the shows for sure. And again, just support the network, set up some type of monthly donation. That would all be a great thing. The ITEL Cat Report is proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post. Good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. It's inconveniently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk. And by Blackbird 9's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Frederick C. Blackburn. He's an NSA whistleblower, a former 32-degree Mason, a former North Carolina House candidate. And you can hear Blackbird 9's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network. He's probably one of the best right now at integrating some of this more esoteric work into contemporary politics. His shows are actually well-researched. Certainly want to give him a plug and check out his show. Again, you could visit blackbird9tradingpost.org. That's blackbird9tradingpost.org. Now for the cat report. It's a kind of a cool cat report, guys. What happened was, One Eye, we've had a couple kittens, and we're pretty sure they're kittens of One Eye. And they've been showing up at my door the past few days to get fed early in the morning. Well, 2 days ago, one of the kittens decided to trounce through the house. It hopped over the wall, which One Eye won't even do. He'll just sit at the front door and scream at you till you open. But this one jumped up over the wall, came in through the back door, and while we were eating dinner, he just trounced right on through the house. And of course, if Bruiser would have sensed or smelled that, it would have been hell to raise inside the house. So we quickly got the kitten out. But he's been showing up. Actually, he and the brother or the two sisters or whatever they are kept showing up. But what happened was last night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I went to bed and I went to look for One Eye, and I heard One Eye at the door, and One Eye was with one of these kittens, and there was some water we leave out, and the kitten was drinking water. And I said, come on, One-Eye. And I was going to feed the kitten some food. So I brought the door, opened the door, and both of them took off. They left. So I thought, oh, shoot, man, I mean, I got to get dressed. I put some sandals on, went outside, grabbed the, just went out. And I went looking for him, and about basically 40 feet away underneath the car, I saw a white cat with another cat literally by the neck. And I'm like, One-Eye, what are you doing, man? Because it was a white cat. So I went walking over there like, what are you doing? And I noticed it wasn't One-Eye. It was this other big, big white male that we have here. It's one of the dominant males. And it had this female cat by the neck, and it was basically choking it to death, literally. And so I realized what was happening. I took a can, a Coke can, a Pepsi can, to be exact, and I threw it at the cat, and it broke its stranglehold on this thing. And the kitten was this female cat was basically lifeless, literally lifeless. And so I just stayed with it for a little while. And I decided to pick it up, and you could hear it gurgling and making just a terrible sound, quite frankly. And I put it out of the gutter and onto the sidewalk. And this other cat just kept trying to get at it, like it wanted to finish off the job or something. And I just refused. So what I did is eventually I left the cat there. And then I came back 15 minutes just to check what was going on. And she had managed to get on her hinds, but she couldn't move really. So when I touched her, she just fell over like she was basically lifeless. So I picked her up, took her to my porch where she could be a little bit safe. And I'll tell you what, she just didn't move. And I thought, oh, man, she's going to die on my porch. I don't want to have this cat die on my porch. So I carried it around to the side of the hill. And then about an hour later, I heard One-Eye fighting, or at least screaming like he's going to fight. And both that cat and One-Eye were circling this other cat. I'm like, come on, man, this is not cool. So basically, I managed to chase the cats away. I got One-Eye inside the house, and this cat was basically lifeless. And by the time I put One-Eye inside the house, he created such a stir that it woke everybody up. So then Emily came out, like, what the heck's going on? Once she understood, we have a litter box that has a lid on it, so we converted that to a little cage. We put her in that, brought her back to the porch here so that she would be reasonably safe, protected her so that nobody could get inside, and just let her stay for the night. And by noon this afternoon, she had recovered enough. We had given her some food, some water. She actually recovered enough, and she was actually able to walk away. And we didn't see her walk away, but when we came out to check, she was gone. But I'll tell you what. It was an interesting night. If I actually didn't go out there at that time, that cat would have died. It would have been killed, man. And it's like, what the heck are you doing? And people are like wondering what I'm doing, looking underneath cars, you know, in the middle of the street at 3 a.m. Everyone's thinking I'm the crazy one. But it was quite an interesting evening when it came to the cats and all that. So that's kind of the ITEL cat report, everybody. One-Eye right now, he's here. He's sleeping in front of me. And I don't know where Bruiser is. I think he's upstairs on the roof. It's very pleasant up there when the wind kicks up. So Bruiser likes to hang out on the roof. Even I might go hang out on the roof today. It's kind of pleasant at night. So anyways, that's the ITEL Cat Report. Again, proudly sponsored by North Cackalacky Trading Post. Good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. And by Blackbird9TradingPost.org, which, of course, is the website for Blackbird 9 Trading Post. No, Blackbird 9 Breakfast Club. That's right, Blackbird 9's Breakfast Club. So, again, check all that out. They are the proud sponsors, again, of the ITEL Cat Report. And it's a long-time sponsorship, and we've gone really for another 8 weeks here, so we're very grateful for that. I'll tell you what, the Chicago Brew out there, you know, you're catching a lot of this stuff. I thought I had everything set properly. I should almost replay that again. The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, again, is the sponsor of the Oy Vey Moment. And, of course, let me try to pull this up. Where did it go real quick? That sidetracked me a little bit. The Oy Vey Moment, again, proudly sponsored by the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show. Again, a new show every day of the week. And you can catch the Oy Vey, the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, again, every day at 10 o'clock a.m. on eurofolkradio.com. That's eurofolkradio.com. Again, a new show every day. The guy works really hard. to say the least. And so check out the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show. And, of course, all his archives are free. He does have one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media. And they're all free and available at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. And what can I say? Check it out, everybody. Let's see. The Oy Vey moment. A couple stories. One of those stories was coming out of Germany. And apparently, the German experiment with multiculturalism is having a deleterious effect on the Jewish community. Predictable, but Jews are kind of stupid. They can't look beyond their own noses sometimes, which are often too long to begin with. By the way, you know the story about Pinocchio. I don't know if you know the story about Pinocchio. You know, Pinocchio, I'll save that story. I'm going to save the Pinocchio story. But anyways, what's happening here is that there's a lot. There's not a lot. It's one. It's two incidents. And Jews play it up. And like Chicago was saying to me after the show last week, it says, you know, a lot of this anti-Semitism crap is nothing but fundraisers. Jews are so paranoid that people will create a lot of stories out there just to raise funds. And it's kind of like a common known wink, 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 but nobody really talks about it. Well, inside of German schools, they are having problems with people bullying Jewish students. Well, probably a percentage of those students deserve it. They're probably asocial, whatever the case may be. But what's happening is Germany, I think, is going to be sending in something like 139 or 140, something like that, anti-bullying experts into German schools in Berlin to try to cut down on the bullying that goes on inside of German schools. And of course, Jews, if they were smart, they never would have brought about multiculturalism. They wouldn't be having these problems. So now they make problems by bringing in all of these migrants that are not compatible to the West, let alone Jewish culture, which is not compatible with the West too, by the way. And they have problems with being attacked or made fun of in school. Wham. And basically now they want to spend more taxpayer money to send in anti-bullying experts for what? To protect Mr. Jew again. Again, it's a circle jerk of stupidity from the Jewish community. Seriously, it's just stupid. They go round and round and round. They make a bad policy. Then they got to throw money at the bad policy. Then they got to create more money to go after the other bad policy. And it's just a waste of money. These guys are complete failures when it comes to managing our societies. And they want to tell us that, yes, don't apologize. We do manage your societies. And they don't have any reason why they should apologize because, quite frankly, not enough of you people are pushing back. Another story is coming out of the UK, and it has to do with Gilad Atzmon. Now, what's happening inside of the UK is you have an NGO, by all indications, okay? Got to be careful here how we word things. But by all indications, it's an NGO. We need to look at its funding, but it's believed to be essentially an Israeli front organization. It is the organization that went after, Alison Chablot. They did go after me one or two times on my professional pages. These guys are not nice people. They are they're totalitarians. They want to impose themselves on you. These are basically younger guys, at least this Gideon Falter guy is a younger guy. He has a very heavy troll mentality. These are not good people, folks. These are not healthy Western institutions. They are there to impose their will upon the British people, very simply. And they will do so, and they are backed with huge amounts of money. Well, the Israeli-born jazz musician, who is not a Jew, he does not consider himself a Jew, and we'd like to ask certain people out there that why aren't more people like Gilad? He was obliged this week to make what was really quite a humiliating apology in the High Court this past Monday after having, they libeled the chairman of the campaign against anti-Semitism, Mr. Gideon Falter. Atzmon had used his website for 5 months from July to December 2017 to publish a series of allegations against Mr. Falter under the title, Anti-Semitism is Merely a Business Plan. Well, I don't know. Looking at how it all seems to work, it is nothing but a business plan. How much money is Gideon Falter making? I think we should have our agents inside the U.S. government start to examine what's going on here. Are we looking at essentially a fifth column element that is really anti-Western and should be sanctioned equally? Again, this idea of Jews can only do the sanctioning on one side, it really doesn't happen that way. We do know Jews hold a lot of power, but we also know that we've gained some power, and it's time to continue to exercise that. Mr. Falter's counsel, a Mr. William Bennett, made it clear that the allegations were false. Well, did you prove that they were false? And who cares if they were insulting? And how is it that just because you insult a Jew, you're supposed to apologize to them? When a Jew calls us an anti-Semite, that's very insulting. When they call us anti-Jew bigots, that's insulting. Why aren't Jews apologizing to all of us Americans? Think about it. Why is it always a one-way street for Jews? You're insulted? So what? How much money are you taking to go out and continue to create all of this stuff, Mr. Falter? I'd like to know. Because if I'm sitting on a jury, that's what I'm going to ask. How much money are you taking, Falter, to spread this anti-Semitism everywhere? Because that's what I see. Now, of course, I'm not a British citizen, but that's what I see. I see it. We hear all kinds of stories about the draconian efforts by the CAA. Nevertheless, apparently, Atzmon made one last-ditch attempt to defend his name. He instructed his solicitor to say that he had never, in fact, intended that his article would suggest to the reader that Mr. Falter was a fraudster. He's not a fraudster. His business model is this how is that fraud? He's telling you, look, we exist to punish anybody and everybody that has anti-Israeli views. And now we don't have enough unlimited resources to go after everybody. But isn't that kind of what is happening? That's not a fraud. Why would you indicate it's a fraud? That's not a fraud. That's your business model. In other words, here we have a situation again, and we're going to cover some in the next segment here. After the half hour, after the top of the hour with Jim Trafficante. I don't know if it's Jim Trafficante or Jim Trafficante. I'm not sure how he spelled his name. But nonetheless, Mr. Falter says, for 4 years I have led campaign against anti-Semitism without earning a penny from it and at enormous personal and financial cost to myself. Okay, well, if you made that statement, shouldn't we get to see your bank sheet? I think we should investigate this. What is his bank sheet? How are you living with nothing? Are you a rich guy? Are you just one of these privileged Jews? And you can throw money at this? You're not taking no foreign donations? I mean, I'm almost tempted to call these guys and say, hey, can you just tell me, what is it about you guys that thinks you can oppress everybody all the time? It'd be interesting. In a statement after the verdict, Falter said, for 4 years I have led, again, without earning a penny. And he says that he does so with great integrity to lead the fight against anti-Semitism in Britain. He says here, we are often accused by anti-Semites of seeking to stifle criticism of Israel or of making anti-Semitic incidents go up. And I am delighted that through the work of libel lawyers like Mark Lewis and blah, 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 I have been able to set the record straight and expose one such anti-Semitic liar for what he is. Well, for us who are juries in the public opinion, you didn't set anything straight. It looks to us like you just operated in a pretty corrupt British venue. You come, I challenge Falter. You come into our courts. We provide the courts. We will absolutely smash Mr. Falter if it's our courts. And see, that's the key here. Jews understand they control the courts. It doesn't matter what the fairness is. It just doesn't matter. There is something exceedingly corrupt about British justice right now. It's egregious in many cases. But nonetheless, Gilad Atzmon has had to apologize. Again, we always say never, ever apologize. But he's a Jew. He gets away with more than the rest of us could because, hey, he's part of the tribe, even though he says I'm not. But nonetheless, he did have to apologize. So, again, this campaign against anti-Semitism should be absolutely brought into the fore as being a subversive element within British society. Because remember, the campaign against anti-Semitism, it doesn't do anything for Britain. It does everything for Jewish interests. And that's why I say you can be against the campaign against anti-Semitism. It doesn't make you a bigot. It means you're against the CAA. See, but they want to always. Now, how is calling us bigots, how is that not libel? Why aren't they apologizing to us by using the term anti-Semitic? Well, first of all, what freaking stupid person in the Jewish community goes out there and says, I'm a Semite? How many times have you heard it? So why are you wasting your time saying this to me? This freaking, when you use the term anti-Semitic to me nowadays, you're telling us that you're a classless, low-life loser that should be shunned for being a disgusting filth of our society. That's what it means to me. Why don't we make this the law? See, these people want, you are this. Yeah. So what? Who are you? Who made you guys God? See, what's happening here? Jews seem intent on creating so much animosity towards them that the only solution is going to be a violent blowback. I mean, and that's what's happened through thousands of years. Yet they continue to persist in this. What part of stuck on stupid from the Jewish community that don't they get? They want to continue to oppress and oppress and oppress and take away rights and force you to apologize to them when they've done everything in their power to be as offensive and loathing and disgusting in your face as they can, but you're the one supposed to apologize? See, to them, I think it's kind of like masturbation. You know, they get something out of it. They love it. I'm not sure of this mental masturbation or something. I don't understand these guys. I mean, I do. I think it's just basically bullies. They're bullies, plain and simple. So, Gilad, again, you tried to take on organized Jewish interests, the CAA, and obviously to take on organized Jewish interests to those of you trying to sell this Zionist crap to our faces. That's what you have. Again, we see it in America all the time. We see it elsewhere. Always, always, we find Jews trying to do what they can to impose themselves upon the rest of us. And that is, I think, the Oy Vey moment. Again, it's brought to you by the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, a new show every day of the week. And again, you can catch it on Eurofolk Radio. That's eurofolkradio.com. Every day at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, 3 o'clock p.m. in the UK. And again, what you can do, I guess, is check out the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show for more information. And what can I say? That's the Oy Vey moment, everybody. All right, join us in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. You can click on the live chat button. Again, that will get you in the door. Again, I'm there somewhat monitoring it. I see, let's see, it's humming along now, I guess you could say. Nick Donin's there and a few others. So, guys, welcome. And, of course, the YouTube live feed is cruising along. Usually you can find that on Inside the Eye Live, the YouTube channel at Inside the Eye Live. And, of course, you're listening to Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. So, again, welcome, everybody, for that. After the break, we got maybe about 4 minutes to go. We're going to talk a little bit about the international side, what's going on here in Syria, Jordan, some of the regional issues that are going on. We'll be talking about that. We're going to get into some issues about Jim Trafficant, some of the comments coming out of national media about how the left has declared war, literally, how the left has declared war on we the people and how they have made it known, like people like CAA, quite frankly, that they will take no prisoners. So this is a very disturbing trend, but we've seen it for over two decades. We've known about this for decades. It's now percolated. Is it percolated? No, I'm not sure it's percolated, but it's risen to the top. I mean, even now it's being covered in the national media by Tucker Carlson. And so we got some clips from Tucker Carlson to highlight just how this war is working. Look, folks, you know, I saw something the other day from the ADL. And the ADL said something to the effect that our Jewish values. I didn't say funny how the ADL says to me, our Jewish values. And our Jewish values, number one, is essentially to stand firm and support the state of Israel. It doesn't say our Zionist values. It says our Jewish values. I'm a little perturbed lately by the propensity of people making the rounds to impose on us the term Zionism when the ADL says Jews. Everybody else says Jews. What is it about these researchers that somehow think we're supposed to use words that are not commonly spoken of within the Jewish community? Folks, you have to start labeling them. It never, if you don't. It's the Veg. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Veg, Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And again, you can join us on at InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. You can click on the live chat button. Or if you'd like, join us on the live stream at YouTube. That's right. YouTube.com/C/InsideTheEyeLive, I think is the actual station there. Not station, but URL. But nonetheless, guys, lots of ways to pick up the show nowadays. And again, thanks for listening here on a very warm Saturday. And even depending where you're at, maybe it's even a hot Saturday. Talking about what's going on here in the Middle East, we've had a situation now where the Syrian Arab Army and its allies, which would probably include Hezbollah and Iran and Russia, have made their way to the main international crossing point here with Jordan. It's only about 45, 50 minutes north of here. Idlib is 30 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. So, yeah, about 45, 55, maybe an hour drive all the way up to the Syrian border. So Syrian government forces, again, yesterday took control over this major crossing. It's called the Nasib Crossing. Now, according to a Sputnik correspondent, the capture of the Nasib Crossing point was possible due to successful negotiations between the representatives of the Russian Center for Syrian Reconciliation and leaders of militant groups operating in the region. Now, what really happened is this, is you have a command communiques being issued out of Idlib, which is, again, here in Jordan. And they have been extorting the militant elements, really the remnants of what's left inside of Syria. They've been extorting them to not surrender, to basically fight to the death type of thing. The communique, I think, came from one of the commanders here from Jordan. And I don't know why the Jordanians even allow this guy to operate. Quite frankly, as a Jordanian, I don't know why they do it, but they are. The communique said something to the fact that take your children and your wives to safe places, then slap on your belts and fight to the death type of thing. I'm just paraphrasing, but something similar to that. So what happened then was the militants up in the north here in Daraa, they said, no, we reject any peace deal. Well, what happened was Russians and the Syrians launched like 200 and some odd plus sorties, air-to-ground attacks, basically bombed it with 200-plus sorties, and they blew the heck out of it with Katyusha rockets and some of these other types of rockets. Well, that went on for 24 hours. After 24 hours, they said, would you like to reconsider your position? And the rebels said, yeah, actually, we kind of would like to reconsider our position, and they decided then to negotiate. So they ended up, essentially, what was happening here in the south of Syria is you had two like peninsulas of rebel held areas. One is along the Syrian border, or not the Syrian. One is along the Golan, occupied Golan border, and one was coming up through Daraa, which is this international crossing. Basically, for the most part now, the Jordanian side has been completely mopped up. Now the border is not going to be opened yet. The next phase of this is there's a couple districts inside of the government capital called Daraa. And inside of Daraa, there are certain parts of this where if it's not taken and secured, the international highway will not be able to be taken and actually be secured. It's already taken, basically, but not secured. So you can't open it. There's still a line of fire from these terrorists operating in the Daraa capital itself. For now, the agreement, again, it was reached in Idlib, which is, again, we talked about Idlib. And those who do not want to stay in the south, again, they had to relinquish all their heavy weaponry. Folks, it was massive. 169 TOW weapon launchers were found. Tons and tons of mortar shells and other types of stuff. It was a huge cache. And the Russians are saying, look, I don't know. We don't know how this got there, but we don't believe this came from Jordan. So it could have came from, who knows, aerial resupply or some type of supply coming from the Americans. But, folks, it was a huge amount of American weaponry and Israeli weaponry. Now, I ask you this, from the American military point of view, what are you doing giving away 169 TOW weapon systems to these type of non-state players? What type of idiots are working within the CIA? What type of morons work for the U.S. Department of Defense? How do you go around and give up 169 TOW weapon systems to non-state players just because these frickin' stupid guys with the kippah and the yarmulke sitting next door want you to do it? How stupid are you guys, really? From American intelligence, you're not frickin' very intelligent. You got to be some of the dumbest people operating out there. You sit there and you subjugate American interests for a bunch of low-life, classless clowns in Israel. And, of course, they're all over our nation. And where are you protecting our borders? I hear all this, support our troops, support our troops. Where are American troops supporting us inside of the states? Where are they helping us? What are they doing? They're sitting there, training the Kurds. For what? The Kurds are not the nicest people, folks. They can be nice to you when you're helping them, but they're not that nice. Okay? Nobody, quite frankly, is that nice in this part of the world. Nobody. Deal with it. But what are you doing training the Kurds for? The Kurds already lost Iraq, okay? Now you want to slice up Syria. Really, it makes no sense. Now here, an agreement has been reached on extracting to Idlib of those who do not want to stay in the south on the gradual relinquishing of heavy weaponry. That is according to, again, Sputnik, as it is. Now, Idlib here is in the north. They're talking about Idlib in the north of Syria. Now, the Russian Center for Syrian Reconciliation stated earlier that over the week that 27 settlements had voluntarily joined the ceasefire in the southern part of the country. And for its part, the American military did leave a statement, and it said basically, look, you guys are on your own. We are not going to be getting involved militarily here. You need to decide what's right for you and your families, but we Americans will not be getting involved. So basically, here's what's happening now. Nasib is taken. America has tons of egg on its face because a bunch of morons inside of our intelligence services gave away tons of very sophisticated weaponry to non-state players in Daraa. How, really, guys, this is dumb. This is so freaking stupid. Why would you do that? And then, of course, the Israeli weapons are there. Well, we expect that because the Israelis are a bunch of scumbags. We get that. We should not be, we as Americans, quite frankly, should not be digressing to being, excuse the language, but Israel's bitch in the Middle East. We should not be cowering before these governors like in Louisiana says, you know what? You guys better support Israel or else you're not going to be able to do business with us. Sounds like Guido. It sounds like the mafia here. And I sometimes wonder, you know, because in America, we hear all the time this Russian collusion. Russian collusion inside of America's political system. And I'm beginning to think, you know, maybe this is code word. It's not really Russia. It's the Russian mafia. It's Kabat. It's Lubavitch. They're Russians. Every single one of them. Not every single one. But a vast majority of these guys are Russian. And you just have to wonder here, how much of this Russian collusion stuff is really talking about Israel, Kabat, directly? but they can't say Jews, so they just say Russians. That's what I mean. You got to name your target. You got to focus on the target. You can't just sit there and say, "Oh, I don't think I'm going to hit my target today. I want to hit that target over there, but I'm going to aim here. I hope the wind carries it." Yeah, I hope so. Really, folks, hit your target. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. So basically, guys, if this border crossing actually gets secured, and they can reopen the international highway, I may make my way over to the Syrian embassy, say hello, quite frankly, and see about making a trip up to Damascus. I've always promised myself that I would have lunch in Damascus one day, just because I've heard very nice things about it from Jordanians. For the most part, the Jordanians here are very, very happy, because for Jordanians, they have had a very bad economy for a really long time. Most of the money here that came at the peak of these wars, and I'm talking about Libya, Syria, Iraq, most of these people and their money have left. Even people I know that have been here for 10 years, they've come to me and said, "Dennis, I need to close my business. I need to shut it down. Can you find me a buyer?" And so basically, money's leaving, and it reflects on the local business. Now, for the most part, Jordan has no resources. Jordan has nothing. So if you don't have trade, if you don't have commerce, then what you got to do is what? Beg for money all the time? Go to the Saudis, say, "Oh, please, brother, can you give me some more billion of dollars? Oh, please, brother." Go to Qatar and say, "Oh, please, brothers, can you give me $400 million? No, you need commerce. You need business. And what they've done is they have replaced the government here in Jordan. And because that has been replaced, the comments now coming out of the new prime minister are actually starting to make rational sense. The previous prime minister, I swear, I would think he's working for the Israelis. You know, he's basically saying the same thing our State Department was saying. It's like, well, why are you mirroring our U.S. State Department? Our U.S. State Department is nothing but an extension of Israeli politics. And Israel doesn't care one second about Jordan. As long as it's stable and they can secure their borders, hey, they're happy. But they don't care for one second about the Jordanian people, and the Jordanians understand this. Folks, it's a twisted scenario here in the Middle East. Now, the Yemen conflict, it continues equally. The Qatar-Saudi rift, it continues. There's a lot of headaches here. They just had a bombing in West Diyala up in Iraq. 18 people were killed up there. And all because basically they're starting to wipe out a lot of these cells. They keep finding tons of weapons, at least tonnage of weapons, everywhere throughout western Iraq, southern Syria, throughout Syria. And really, when you have Donald Trump, now Donald Trump is going to be going to meet with President Putin in another week and a half or so. Look, Putin's like, okay, look, you want to leave Syria. Russia wants you to leave Syria. The Syrians want you to leave Syria. So now let's find an exit strategy for the Americans to get out of Syria. And we, the American people, should be supporting that. We need to get our troops out. We could easily put 10,000 people on the border with Mexico. They can't arrest, but they can certainly help secure the border. And I don't care what type of clown has to say, "Well, that's xenophobic." Well, screw you. Again, I don't care. I am tired of the rhetoric coming out of these people that are pro. They're not necessarily pro-Israel, but they're apologists. They want to buttonhole the language that we're allowed to use and how we describe the political environment today. I just seen too much of it. And quite frankly, I've really become fed up with it. So, folks, that's the deal. Now, if you're watching the YouTube, you know, you've got the rows and rows of the TOW weapon system that is the Nasib crossing there. Again, it's a huge thing. Now, what happened was the crossing was completely destroyed, as you can imagine. These people, these rebels, they are basically Jewish. They are not able to build societies. They're not able to build civilizations. So basically everything they touch is destroyed. And it's very much like Israel. Everything that Israel touches gets destroyed. If it's not, quote unquote, getting stolen by the Americans for Jewish purposes, everything else is destroyed. I don't know if you saw the story equally this week. there's a village inside of Israel, and these people have been living in this village. These Palestinians have lived in this village for some 50 years. And what happened was this week, the Israeli courts, which are basically nothing but a bunch of, I don't know, sadistic henchmen maybe, they said, here's the order, go ahead and demolish this entire village. Entire village, folks. This is the Jewish people, not the Zionists, folks. This is the Jewish people. Be very clear. They are Zionist Jews. They're Jews. To them, imagine, and again, I don't support this from my own government, and I'll talk about it within my own government. I don't have a problem because we should not be supporting this behavior. Quite frankly, Israel, gosh, my goodness, what? They are the enemy of the American people. Not just militarily, but economically, culturally, privacy-wise. I mean, how much Israel technology is being used to spy on everybody? How many people are killed simply because they learn some secrets about vaccines? How many people are killed because they might go against some Jewish guy somewhere in some political race? Folks, there are reasons why you're spying wholesale on the American people. And it's not because you're trying to catch terrorists. It's because you want to terrorize the people. You want to be able to stop any and every idea or thought that goes against your fraudulent history. That's the reality of it. I saw something from the ADL, aside from saying our Jewish values is to support the state of Israel. I didn't see the ADL say, no, our Zionist values. I don't ever see Jews walking around saying, hey, I'm a Semite, but you're an anti-Semite. Well, if you're not a... Man, see, it's really stupid right now. We have allowed weaponized words to percolate. It's a proper word I heard. To percolate into the main consciousness here. And people react to these words. You know, when you hear things, they become very uncomfortable. And they are uncomfortably so because imagine how many tens of thousands of hours of programming on the television these people have used to try to create words that have negativity. Let me see if I can move along a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about something else real quick. I saw something from the ADL equally. And what it was we were looking at a case where the ADL puts out a report that says white supremacists are flocking to enter the political system, something to that effect, like more and more white supremacists are running for office in the United States. And what I don't grasp from the Jewish community here is that you, as a Jewish community, you're comprising about 2% of what you claim. Maybe you're more than that and you lie to us. I wouldn't doubt that at all. And everywhere we look, Jews control everything. They control our media, our banking, our trade policies with China is being negotiated by Jewish people. Our foreign policy is clearly dominated by Jewish people. Our culture and the loss of our culture is so because of Jewish programming. Everywhere I look, I see Jewish professors on campuses. I see Jewish doctors. I see, everywhere. This isn't bigotry. Again, it's rational observation. The dishonesty by the left of using terms like bigot, racist, Nazi, Hitler lover, etc. All of this is intended to forestall the mass awareness, the critical mass needed to overthrow this very dangerous tyrannical power that now really sits in the halls of power inside of the United States. And I thought it's very disingenuous for the ADL, non-American, it's simply a Jewish organization, to call us American supremacists. Well, what is this? Is it a situation now where Jewish supremacists are the only ones who are supposed to sit in the halls of power? When was the last time you ever heard anybody within the Jewish community say, hey, that's a Jewish supremacist and he's running for office. You've never heard that, but they will use it against the American people time and time again. It's completely disingenuous. It's dishonest. It's inflammatory. It's hate-filled, if you want to use Jewish hate speech. It's got to end, folks. You need to run for office. You need to sit there, and every time a Jew uses these terms, fire back and just let them know how disgusted you are with them, how you're not American, how if you don't like America, go back to Israel. That's what we created the darn stupid cesspool for, so you guys would have a home to go to. It's not because it's Zionism. No, it was to get rid of Jews as part of the Jewish problem, the Jewish question. That's why they did it. It's not like they just did it for nothing. That's why British nationalists supported the state of Israel all the way back in 1918. It was to get rid of their Jews. Very simple. Now, Jews are sitting there saying, the left doesn't want us, you know, the right, they're against us. Okay. Well, if all of this is the case, what makes you think you have a right to stay? Because you're already talking to us as if you're an alien people. You're saying that we have to support a foreign power, not even America anymore. And I'll tell you, this type of attitude has been around a really, really, really long time. But nobody seems to be taking notice of it. And hopefully, because of shows like this and elsewhere, people are really going to start to grasp precisely what is happening. Again, it's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the political. I'm like, I don't know, I feel like I'm huffing and puffing here as we move along. Again, telephone lines 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Let's see, this is an old story, but a new story came out of Al Beirut. It's kind of a web news gathering agency that's kind of blocked everywhere. But they mentioned today, by the way, that there was a huge swarm drone attack on the Russian airbase up in Amman in northern Syria. And we're not sure whether that actually happened, but that's something that was being talked about today. A lot of things, you know, the Yemen deal is going on. The Yemeni today say we're going to be hitting everywhere. We're going to hit Syria. Or we're going to hit Saudi Arabia with missiles everywhere. No place is going to be safe. And I'm like, man, these people, they just got to find a way to just live in peace. But the truth is, in spite of what Jews tell you, nobody here in the Middle East likes each other. Jews will sit there. I find Jews like really borderline, stuck on stupid, crackhead type stupid. They'll sit there and they say, oh, the right of return, everybody should go to Jordan. Well, if you know Jordanian culture, you know that the Jordanians are nothing like the Palestinians. They're really not the same. Now, we've had a huge number of Palestinians here, and Palestinians have contributed immensely to the building of this nation of Jordan. But at the same time, they don't like each other. The Jordanians don't like the Palestinians, and quite frankly, it's kind of mutual. The Syrians, they don't really like the Iraqis, and the Iraqis don't necessarily like the Kuwaitis, and the Kuwaitis don't necessarily like Qatar. It's not this big brotherly love of Arabs over here. And if Jews try to sell you on this idea, they're just stupid, man. And you would have to be kind of stupid to buy into it. The amount of propaganda I see from the Jewish community about how, oh, just send the Palestinians everywhere because they speak a common language. It doesn't work that way in the Arab culture. It just doesn't happen. It's not like we Americans can probably go down under to Australia and fit in pretty good. English is a different culture. We all kind of come from the same cultural family, that British family, that extended British idea, which was, of course, not Jewish at the time, but I guess it's Jewish now. But nonetheless, folks, I'm going to wait here. We got another minute or two to go before we get into the break. So just want to say again, good morning to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And again, if you're sitting out there on the West Coast, stay cool. Turn on the air. Really what they're advising, if it gets really, really hot, what we do here is we'll go typically to malls, kind of camp out in the malls if it's really that hot. We just can't handle it. Just go to the mall. Go someplace to get out. Go to a government buildings here are not necessarily a good choice. They're no better off than the average people here. But get out there. Do what you can. Stay cool, everybody, if it's getting too hot. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Back with more right after this. And welcome back, everybody. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Again on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio, and we're coming to you again live from Amman. And what can I say? It's just a hot day. Really, it's kind of a hot, lazy day here. Really, it's been a lazy day. What can I say? I feel lazy today. I'm not sure why I feel lazy, but I feel lazy today. Let's see. InsideTheEyeLive.com, click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door there. Again, InsideTheEyeLive.com, click on the live chat button. You can also go to YouTube at youtube.com and then look for InsideTheEyeLive.com or just InsideTheEyeLive, our page there. And that will, of course, get you onto the live stream. Guys in the live stream, hope you're enjoying the new service here of InsideTheEyeLive.com or InsideTheEyeLive. And what else? Telephone lines, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. You know, the last few weeks we've, you know, obviously, you know, if you've been listening to this show, you've known the Jewish infiltration of America is something that we've been talking about probably since from day one, going all the way back to 2011, 2012. And it's something that, of course, we've continued to do so. But what I found amazing again this week was just all the talk about how we can't say the word Jew. We have to say Zionist, Torah Jew, true Torah Jew, I don't know, Judea. I don't know. Just whatever you do, you can't call a spade a spade. You have to call a spade a spunk. I don't know what's the matter with these people, but they do seem to have a huge problem with dealing with reality. Are they quote-unquote Zionists? Yeah, no one's going to question that. That's kind of obvious, but they're also Jews. And the number of Jews that are rising to the offense or the defense of the American people and American values is basically very small, very, very small. And so how that the Jewish people feel they can impose their will upon us without some type of pushback is, I guess, possible only in a completely deluded country. And that would be very sad if that's actually what it came down to. But I have this quote here going back in time from Jim Trafficante. And he was a congressman who had gone over. There was a guy by the name of Demyanyuk. He was an American auto worker. And he worked in Trafficante's district. And a bunch of Jews got together, essentially, framed this guy up, had him sent over to Israel. There was something called the Office of, OSI, Office of something. It was basically some type of organization to track down anti-Semites, you know, track them down. And so they were getting a huge amount of money. They basically hadn't had any arrests in a while. So they decided, okay, let's go after Ivan the Terrible. They took Demyanyuk from his family, an innocent American, shipped him off to Israel, literally just shipped him off to Israel. And he was basically there to be on death row. And nobody cared. The Jewish people don't care. They're like, oh, I'm glad you caught this guy. Seriously, Jews don't care. And this was such a travesty because this is one American, an innocent American, being railroaded by global Jewish power with massive criminality within the American Justice Department, within the American State Department, all across the American federal government. And nobody said a word, but Trafficante, he stood up to it. He flew over to Israel. He said, look, we know that this guy isn't who you claim he is. Let him go. And the Israeli Supreme Court, for their part, they let him go. But that wasn't enough for this evil vindictiveness of the Jewish people. So they had him rearrested and shipped off to Germany to face the same charges, even though they knew and everybody knew that this guy wasn't who they claimed he was. This is an evil beyond our comprehension, folks. Really. Well, Demyanyuk, he died, I think, awaiting trial. Imagine, in his final days of life, he's caught up in this sadism of Jewish power projection. They're trying to create stories about Treblinka that never happened, and they need to find some type of proof it happened. See, we convicted this guy. It's true. See, he was convicted. No, this is wrong, folks. You must question Jewish power, Jewish type of framing here. But here's Jim Trafficante speaking, I think, to Greta something. I forget her name. It was a major TV, and I think this happened somewhere in 2008, 2009 maybe, because he talks about Obama later in the interview. But have a listen to this.
Explain to me what you see as, you know, why you target or why you have a grudge against the Israelis.
The grudge is not necessarily a grudge. It's an objective assessment that no one will have the courage to speak about. They're controlling much of our foreign policy. They're influencing much of our domestic policy. Wolfowitz, as Undersecretary of Defense, manipulated President Bush number two back into Iraq. They pushed definitely to try and get Bush before he left to move into Iran. We're conducting an expansionist policy of Israel, and everybody's afraid to say it. They control much of the media. They control much of the commerce of the country. And they control powerfully both bodies of the Congress. They own the Congress.
Are you an anti-Semite?
No, I'm not. That's exactly what they're going to say. And I expect that. What I am is an American. You see, I think America comes first. And we have a one-sided foreign policy in the Mideast. And we've alienated Arabs who have no way of fighting. So what they've done, and I predicted this on the House floor, is they would export violence to America. And they have. They have no other way to fight.
Now, that's Jim Trafficant speaking to Greta something on national TV. Somewhere 2008, 2009, before he magically had his tractor kill him. And of course, he was a firebrand. He was a true American patriot. And what he had to say there, it holds true for the British people. It holds true for Germans. It holds true for all of us in the West, because this type of power, this type of evil that we are confronting here, it has consumed so much of America. You know, 9/11. And this is where Jim gets it wrong, and he got it wrong. He actually believed that the Israelis were, quote-unquote, friends of America, the only true democracy in the Middle East. He had that dead wrong. He says that, oh, you know, the Arabs, they're exporting their terror to America. No, that's not possible. You have borders. You do have internal security in America. They're pretty stupid and inept, but they ain't that inept. The reality is that the terror was exported by Jews themselves. We have all kinds of people. Jewish fingerprints are all over 9/11. 9/11 was, of course, one of the greatest acts of terror, treason in America. But you have to ask yourself, seriously, is any action by a Jewish person against America an act of treason? Is it? Because if they're foreign nationals, is it treason? Or is it simply espionage? Is it possible for a Jew to be a traitor to the American people? See, I would hold that based on Jewish behavior, Jewish mentality, Jewish willfulness to support harming American interests, that within the Jewish mind, there's some type of far-off mentality that says they can never be guilty of treason because they're not part of the American people. They're a foreign nation. They're an infiltrator. And you really have to ask yourself seriously, are we dealing with a foreign enemy? When you see that Jew across the table and he starts making statements about how evil your government is and how bad you are because you don't support Jews and their policies, are we dealing with an American, or are we really dealing with a foreign occupying person here? Somebody that has been given free rein to do whatever the hell they want in our countries, and they know that for the vast majority of their efforts, nobody's going to get caught. I mean, heck, you got Rubashkin, guilty of some of the most horrendous immigration crimes, guns, firearms, you name it, the largest kosher slaughterhouse in America. And as soon as they get a Russian, meaning Jewish maybe, influenced president like Trump, all of a sudden Rubashkin is out of jail. So I'm beginning to think every time I hear the word Russian, yeah, maybe it is Russian, but it's Russian mafia, but it's really not Russian. They don't want to say Russian. It's Jewish mafia. I'm really beginning to believe that's how this is all playing out. But I don't believe for a second, quite frankly, that the people who are doing the investigation are ever serious. They're not into catching the real Russian infiltration of America, which isn't Russians, but again, Jews. Again, Jews, folks. They're using the wrong word to define the infestation of American political structures here. They're using purposely the wrong word. Yes, are they quote-unquote Russians, but are they really? Maybe they're not really Russian. See, somehow we have to start looking at the activities and words and actions of the Jewish people out there and say, are you really American? Because America stands for one thing, and you stand for everything against what America stands for. So maybe you truly are an alien amongst us. Maybe. We're not saying you are, but maybe we have to consider that. We have to start asking ourselves, was 9/11 a great act of treason, or was it simply an attack on the United States by a foreign power and their agents who are operating inside of the United States? That doesn't make them treasonous in this case, because they're not really part of the United States on a tactical, practical level. Joining us from the 704 area code, hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hi, Dennis.
Hello.
Hey, is there a breakdown anywhere you may have come across, if anybody would have come across it, it might be you, of where Jews donate money? I mean, to which cause?
Yes, there is. Yes, I actually can grab that. It's exceedingly extensive. But there are something like over 1,500 organizations in America that receive funding. Overall, it comes out to about $27 billion per year is funneled out of America and sent to Israel through the various nonprofits. And that does not include actual government taxes, not taxes, but, you know, credits for trade and things like that. So, yeah, you're looking at perhaps as much as $40 billion a year. And yes, that information.
That begs the question, what percentage of, you know, quote unquote, Jewish Americans, you know, whether they be non-practicing or practicing, whatever, because we know that, like, I mean, I've always heard the figure 80% of Jews are atheists, but they still identify.
Yeah, exactly. As
Jews,
that's,
you know. So what percentage of, you know, quote unquote, American Jews are donate to, you know, to causes, Jewish causes, is, you know, to Israel, pro-Israeli,
well, the thing about
pro-Zionist?
The thing about Israel is twofold, and not just Israel, but Jewish causes, is that you have to be fair. OK, to be fair, in the Jewish community, you have probably 12-15% are very poor. They just they're poor, like the quote unquote the white trailer trash that they like to talk about Americans. You know, they're Jewish trailer trash. Okay, very simple. They're very poor and they're reliant on handouts from the synagogues and that. But what they have to do then is they have to donate their time typically to Jewish causes, whether it's the local synagogue, some type of nonprofit. So okay, do we calculate that factor in? Now you're looking at probably 60-70% of American Jews, if they're American really at this stage, donating to Jewish causes. And of course, they're 50% of America's billionaires. Okay, 50%. And they're more than happy to give away hundreds of millions of dollars to certain organizations like the ADL because the American taxpayer pays for it because it's a tax write-off. It's a nonprofit. If that makes sense to you.
Okay, and those are Jewish Americans. You say about 12% of Jewish Americans are poor.
Yeah, I mean, you do have, I don't know if it's 12, I'd have to go get some numbers, but yeah, there is. I mean, I used to hang out in L.A., and I knew some of them, quite honestly. I knew them. They were very poor people. You know, I was doing better than they were type of thing, but it's not like this is a cultural thing. It's not like Jews do much worse than all the other ethnic groups, but we have to, the key point to remember here is that just because they're poor doesn't mean they're also not giving to Jewish causes. They're donating their time. You know, it's rather than work, they're taking handouts from the Jewish community, and then they give back basically labor to help Jewish causes.
My other question, standing question always is, where are the Jewish groups? Where are these reasonable, good Jews to America? Well, no, but listen. Where are the ones that are standing up against the fact that Jews control all of the media? I've never seen that. I have never seen any Jewish protest in my life or any Jew really standing up and saying, you know what, it's just flat on its face, wrong, it's unfair, or anything of that nature that people that come from such a small, minuscule minority of a country's population control as much of the media, nearly all of it, that they do. Not to mention all the other, you know, the publishing houses and Hollywood. And, all you know, we can go down the list. But I've never seen any of those protests or any groups speaking out against that.
They haven't, and it's worse than that, you know, because when you talk about the publishing houses, there is basically a lot of nepotism in your school system. So essentially the textbooks that are read by the kids in elementary, high school, on up into college, they're just getting indoctrinated by Jews. It's like the only points of views we're getting are Jewish points of views. And so, okay, fine. I'll accept that you Jews are strong, you're powerful. But now I want you to take responsibility for all the failures of our country. And that means that if we want to do whatever we want in return, that's open game because you did what you wanted in when you had the power. And that means if we have to isolate you, kick you out, do whatever. Look, that's if that is the recipe for America, what do you want? You had us die for you to make Israel, then get the heck out. And of course, it's
That's my other always standing point is they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to have it both ways. They want two sets of rules.
Yes.
Hey, I heard a great clip this morning listening to the Rents Network. Jeff Rents played a clip. I guess it was from one of last night's hours that he did. I was listening to the rerun of it early this morning, and it was from Bela Lugosi. Now, you know, he was the guy that played Dracula back in the 20s or 30s or whatever it was. And he was Jewish, and he wore a Star of David, if I'm not mistaken. I know I've seen pictures of him as Dracula back in the 30s or whatever, playing Dracula, and he had the Star of David on a chain around his neck. But anyway, he played an audio clip of Bela Lugosi. I don't think it was Dracula, but it was some other character, I think. But it He said, "I have no home." It was very eerie, the audio. And, you know, it's probably from the 30s. "I have no home." And basically, you could tell if you read between the lines, he was talking about the wandering Jew and how the Jew is kicked out of everywhere. And everyone hates me. I'm despised all over the world. And I can never stay in one place. But I am going to build an army of supermen, and we will rule the world. And, I mean, you could tell, I mean, to me, reading between the lines, he was talking about, you know, he was talking about the Jews. He was talking about, you know, Zionism or whatever you want to hear about. It was very eerie, but the clip that Jeff Prince played.
Well, yeah, I think, obviously, yeah. They know what's going on. That's the key thing here. Is they may have the wool pulled over a lot of Americans and everybody else's eyes, but they understand it. You can see by how they're writing and drafting their laws. They get it.
So Can I cover one late news
story?
Yeah, okay.
Got about America. Yeah, you got 3 minutes, so go ahead and take it.
Okay, that's good. Hey, listen, there's this news story that's been going around for a couple of days, and it's this guy, Bloom, I think is his name. He appears to be probably late 20s, early 30s, maybe, I don't know, maybe older, but, you know, he's this, appears to be white. He could be Jewish for all I know. But anyway, he is a member, he's like somebody in the homeowner association in this particular community that has a community swimming pool where you access the entry gate and entry and exit gate by with a card, one of those little electric electronic cards. You know, you put it up in front, it goes beep, and the green light comes on and it opens the gate, and you and your children walk into the pool or whatever. But anyway, somebody brought to his attention, the way I hear, understand it, you know, they didn't think that this one person there at the pool with their child was a member of the community and a resident of the community. And so he went up and asked her for her ID to see, you know, I guess the address on it, see if she did live within the community and was therefore, you know, had the privilege, the right to be going in and out of the pool. But anyway, apparently the police were called. I guess he called the police and everything to check it out. They checked her card out. The card worked. And, that looks good. That sounds good. Of course, we all know, I mean, I'm old enough to know, people let other people borrow their cards all the time.
That's correct.
You know? And sometimes it might not be the best idea to do that, but the thing is, it's made the national news. I mean, it's been on every news program I've seen. I hear people talking about it. It's all over the news. This guy has lost his job, okay? And that's the problem that I have with it. The thing is, folks, the only reason I'm bringing this up, that kind of thing happens every day in America, every summer. It's been going on for decades and decades, okay? But it never makes the news because usually it's probably a white person saying, hey, you know what? We've never seen these people. I don't think these people live in our community, in our neighborhood. Where, you know, I don't know where they got that card from or whatever. So there's a question. Maybe somebody goes up and asks, you know, hey, do you guys live here? You know, can I see your ID? I'm a, you know, member of the homeowner association or whatever. And it checks out or it doesn't, you know, whatever. Sometimes the police have to be called, you know, to get them out of there or whatever. Because if you start letting people come in, then it sets a precedent. Well, yeah, we just allow anybody to come in. But my main point, the only reason I bring it up is because it would have never made the news had it been, a white person. And white people accuse each other of these things all the time, but it never makes the news. But here, this black person, here's the problem I have with the black community in general. 80 to 90% of them, I would argue, they want the white guy to lose his job. Any white guy that's not submissive and who believes he's standing up for the rights of his community or his race or his country, he's automatically demonized. And it's open season on him. Oh, yeah, we want to destroy his life. We want him to lose his job. We don't want him to be able to pay his bills. That's the reason I bring it up. And most black people are all for that. Yeah, destroy that white guy. Who is he to stand up and ask a black person anything? See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with this, too. The vindictiveness of basically everybody on the left, which is basically Jewish organization on down, it's a vindictive, mean-spirited, nasty, all-out war against traditional America. And this is where even me, I'm really starting to come to grasp with just how extensive this war really is. I mean, it is massive and it's everywhere. And white, really, the white European American, my goodness, you see it.
And I would be remiss if I didn't finalize it by saying it's the Jew pushing these news stories every day, trying to stir it up.
That is correct. Frank, thanks so much for the call. Back with more, everybody, right after. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. Today's date, July the 7th, 2014, or not 2014. See, you guys caught me again. I'm very famous for making, like, numbers come out of nowhere when they really shouldn't be there. Let's see, it's 2018. That's right, you guys knew that already. It's 2018. There it goes, and thank you very much for the... I got myself some freshly squeezed sugarcane juice from the local market down in downtown. It's kind of a poor area, but you go down there, you tell them I want a liter, it's liters here, everybody, of the juice, and they'll press it for you right there, pour it in, you take it home, and enjoy. Oh, that's really good stuff. So I've been drinking a lot of freshly squeezed sugarcane juice. I didn't sleep at all last night, guys, so I'm kind of tired today. You know, with the cats, I felt really bad for that cat last night. If you missed the cat report, you know, I saw a cat trying to kill another cat. It was really bizarre. I've never seen that before. Literally, this cat was going to die if I didn't do something. I'm like, man, this is bizarre. So I was basically playing bodyguard last night to keep the cats away. And again, this cat, she needed probably about 9 hours to recover from that attack. And then she was able to walk away on her own devices or whatever the case is. So that was a good thing. Let's see here. You know, one way you can see how Jews are actually behaving in society is to understand that the laws that they put in play to protect themselves are what they themselves are often guilty of doing, and therefore they want protection. One of the issues is, for instance, let's say BDS. They want you to not have the moral authority to boycott Israel. They're saying, look, if you're an American, you owe your life essentially to the Israeli government, and we're going to make sure that our agents inside of America are going to put the laws down that don't allow you to protest against we, the Jewish people, not the Zionists, the Jewish people. Well, when you look at some of the ways that they start to craft their laws, and let me see if I can pull this story up quick enough here. Oh, I just want to say real quick, I'm going to be like 90% sure right now on the Brian Roux Show this weekend, this coming Tuesday. We've already agreed. The only thing that would stop is if I have some type of emergency trip somewhere. But nonetheless, I will be on the Brian Roux Show right here on Revolution Radio on Studio B at 6 o'clock in the morning, in the evening. So again, from 6 o'clock in the evening to 8 o'clock in the evening, kind of like a primetime show, 6 to 8 in the evening, Eastern time. Again, you can look for me on the Brian Roux Show, and we'll look forward to seeing you there. There was by the way, the live stream's doing fine, everybody. Join us in the live stream. No quality problems, I hope, this week. I think everything's working out okay. You know, there's an issue inside of Israel, not inside Israel, inside of the UK. Everything's taking a long time here. There it is. Everything's like slow today. I'm not sure why that is. I got everything on hyper speed on my laptop, but everything's CPU usage is like killing me. Now, here's the thing. When we look at Jewish power, okay, as an instrument of state, they know what they're doing. They're not stupid people. They're not the brightest people in the world. That's why they have to create laws to protect themselves. The Holocaust is a fraud, but they need laws to protect it so that you can't talk about it. You can't talk about historical facts. Germany is like a complete cesspool. By the way, as an aside, I got an email from Lady Michelle Renouf, and she was saying that Alfred Schaefer has been arrested again, effective yesterday, something like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, I haven't seen any updates, but I haven't checked emails today either. But nonetheless, Alfred Schaefer was arrested again yesterday. Monica Schaefer remains behind bars. So now apparently both of the siblings are now behind bars. That was effective yesterday at 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock. They were just sitting down. Michelle was there at the house when Alfred was arrested. She was actually in the bathroom. She got a knock on the bathroom door, had to present her passport, presented her passport. They said they came to arrest Alfred, left her alone. Marched Alfred out in five officers in handcuffs and marched him out. And that's where it is at this moment. I haven't heard anything more. There may indeed be more, but I haven't heard yet because I haven't checked the emails. So basically, one thing you can do to understand Jewish corruption within your society is laws they're trying to pass. Now, one of those is, of course, BDS. It's un-American, they say, for us to boycott Israel. Yet, unless you guys aren't paying attention, Israel and Jewish lobby in America, Israel inside of the UK, everywhere else where they're very strong, they want us to say boycott Iran. Trump says, I'm going to unilaterally back out of an international deal that was brokered by five different nations. I'm backing out. I don't like the deal. Now they're pressuring, like Japan, for instance, to not buy any oil from Iran. French companies are having to pull out because they have operations in America, and they don't want to be seen as violating the sanctions against Iran. Now, how is it that Jews can tell us it's un-American to be boycotting Israel, but it's American to boycott Iran? What's the difference? Again, the crackhead stupidity, the blatant, brazen hypocrisy of the Jewish people, it's absurd. It's like, okay, really, you just told me it's un-American here to boycott Israel. Why? They're one of the most sadistic criminal organizations on planet Earth, and they attacked us on 9/11. Their agents are everywhere inside of our country. Why is it not wise, or why is it not acceptable to boycott Israel? Now you turn around and look, the Iranian issue going back to 1980, the fall of the Shah of Iran, that was all pretty nasty stuff from a diplomatic point of view. But why do we continue to hamper American interest when the only ones pushing the anti-Iran line are Jewish people? I'm just kind of curious. Why would that be? Why is that? So now what's happened is the UK is essentially an occupied government. They tell you what you can think up there. And people are waking up in droves, but nonetheless, there's no power. The courts will do what they want. The police are so inept and so corrupt, they actually... I mean, British policing, folks, is so bad for the British citizen that it really, as a national institution, needs to be completely, literally imploded and rebuilt. It's that bad. Now, there's been a lot of talk inside the Jewish community about Corbyn's quote-unquote anti-Semitism. Now, mind you, Corbyn isn't anti-Semitic any more than anybody else. And I've never heard a Jew call themselves a Semite. So what are you guys talking about? I mean, what type of language are you using here? Say we're anti-Jewish, and that's fair, but you don't want to even use the word Jew. Why don't you just say anti-Jew? You're anti-Jew. Yeah, that makes sense to me, but they don't do that. They use Semitism because it's got some type of spell in it, apparently, that affects people. Now, here's what they've done. The Corbyn Labor Party, they created something out of their National Executive Committee on this past Tuesday, and they adopted for themselves, again, a definition of anti-Semitism. Well, why would you even be wasting your time? Why? Because now you're basically giving free rein for Jews to just ask for another mile. You give them an inch, they'll take a mile. You give them an inch, a quarter, and they'll take 10. So by adopting this, you're basically saying, yeah, Jews are right here. Well, they're not right. They don't have any right and should not have any right to influence the British people the way they're doing. The British people should be their own sovereign people. Jews are not British. They're an alien power. That's why they're never guilty of any treason. They can't. They're an alien power. They're an enemy of the state. They're not. Again, you have to really start to break down the logic of what's happening here at a actual practical expression level. Now, Labor has passed this new anti-Semitism code, and there are four things that are not included that is globally written by the International Holocaust Remembrance Association, or whatever it is, alliance it is. One is accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or to the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than to the interests of their own nations. Well, first of all, why would you need to enshrine that? Because, again, you're only enshrining this stuff because you're actually guilty of it. And we are not going to sit there and call you Jews that are listening out there guilty of supporting Israel above our own nations if we don't have a reason to. See, the problem here is that within the Jewish community, there's a preponderance of a belief that everybody is stupid but them. They think that we don't understand the nuance of words and how we use our language, which is limited in how it can be used for expression. We must sometimes be able to read between the lines. We must sometimes need to infer in normal, casual conversation. Jews don't get that. They get it when they use the language, but they don't want to give you that benefit here. So if you're going to accuse some Jewish person of being more loyal to Israel, and that is, quote unquote, anti-Semitic, but what if it's true? Again, what if it's true? See, nobody asked this question. The fact is that it's true. So why are you calling it? Why are you calling the truth anti-Semitic? Then shouldn't part of the definition also be speaking truthfully about Jews? Very simple. Because if it is true that Jew A is more loyal to Israel, and so many Jews I know really are, actually not anymore. I don't know them anymore because I've been gone for 10 years. But so many Jews, hey, my country for better or worse. That's their attitude. Israel, better or worse, it's my country. Not America. Israel, better or worse. So again, even though you speak true, they want to criminalize truth. How is that not sadistic? How is that not anti-American? How is that not anti-British? How is that not anti-Western civilization? They talk about alleged priorities of Jews worldwide. Okay, give us a break, you freaking morons in the Jewish community already. There are Jewish priorities. It's not alleged. They're freaking out there on your sleeve. What do you think all those 1,500 non-NGOs working in America are doing with their time and their money? They're working on Jewish priorities. They're funded by Jewish organizations, Jewish donors, Jewish corporations. What do you mean alleged? What an insulting, offensive, stupid thing to say. Again, the language used by Jews, it's stupid. It's just dumb. It's not alleged. You misuse our language, dudes. Have you not figured out how to, you spend all this time in English-speaking countries and you haven't figured out the English language yet? You've shown us you know how to abuse it, but you don't know how to use it properly. Literally with decency and honesty and integrity. Why don't you just throw in there, hey, lacking decency and integrity and accusing Jews of such as quote-unquote anti-Semitic. It's still true, right? It's true. So why would you call it anti-Semitic? Because the truth has become anti-Semitic. That's the reality. They say here, denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're sitting in my country. See, this is how I'm thinking, man. Here are these Jews sitting in my country. And they're going to talk about their own self-determination to me in my country. What about my self-determination? What is it about you Jews? Who cares? You're in our country. How are we denying you the right to your self-determination in our country? Isn't this kind of like saying to the American people, to the people of the world, that Jews are not part of your nations? They are a separate entity. They have zero loyalty to your nations because you cannot give a Jew a right to his own self-determination in your country if you don't first give him the right to be separate from your country. You're saying, look, if I want to have pedophilia, if I want to go molest a two-year-old, that's my self-determination, and you got to give it to me. If I want to sacrifice your child tomorrow to my Yahweh, you got to give it to me because that's my right to self-determination. And if it's your child that's sacrificed, hey, too bad, because that's my Jewish self-determination. You cannot sit there and tell us inside of the UK, inside of America, because they want to adopt this for America too, folks, that you have a right to your own self-determination inside of our own countries, because now you're saying you're not a part of our country. Now you're saying you can easily be viewed as an enemy of our countries. You're not even a part of it. You cannot have it both ways. You are either a part of America or you're not. You either have determination within the American process, at which you must be subject to our will and our laws if we so do rise to power and impose them. Because, hey, what about our self-determination? When you flood our countries with millions upon millions of migrants, what are you doing? You are denying the people of Europe their right to their self-determination. You are taking the natural order of these cultures and these civilizations, and you're just upending it for what? Because you want to be self-determination guru here or what? Again, the crack that comes from the Jewish mind, it's unbelievable. Because when you read it, it actually doesn't make any sense. It's zero sense. They're saying here you can't claim the existence of a state of Israel as a racist endeavor. Well, what is it then? You demand DNA tests now to come in from certain nations. How can you tell us it's not racist? You sit there and you tell us that Judaism is a religion, but it's really a race. It's an ethnostate of Jews, and you brag about it all the time. You're busy kicking out all your black Jews because, hey, you got the same problem with them as we have, I guess, with blacks in our nations, right? The only difference is that your Jewish groups are lobbying for us to have to treat blacks with a very, and there's a lot of great black people, folks. Again, be nuanced and read between the lines. Don't be a Jew and be stupid here and just pick, oh, he said this. Oh, he's a bigot. Yeah, whatever, man. Whatever. Be nuanced. For me, languages come down to this. Those who get it are like in the pyramid. And those who are freaking morons are down at the base. And unfortunately, they're the hardened masses that don't have any freaking brains. And they're the ones you got to get through to get to the top. It goes on here, applying double standards by requiring of it, meaning Jews apparently, a behavior not expected or demanded of any other democratic nation. Well, Israel's not democratic. It's an ethnostate. It will become democratic when it grants every single Palestinian the right to return home. Then we will see how democratic it really is. Until the state of Israel and Jewish people, the Zionists, but still Jews, they're still Jews, my friend, until they decide to grant the Palestinians a unilateral right, which is owed to them, to return home, then and only then can Jews tell us that their ethnostate is, quote-unquote, a democracy. It's not. It's an ethnostate. It's a apartheid state. When they say applying double standards, well, what about you telling us we got to boycott Iran, but you telling us we can't boycott Israel? There are no double standards when it comes to boycotting because Jews are telling people to boycott everything left and right. So therefore, how can you sit there and tell us a boycott of Jewish sadism is somehow a double standard when you're telling others to boycott something for just because you Jews don't like it? It makes no sense to me. Another idea that's within the international definition of anti-Semitism is drawing comparisons of contemporary Israel policy to that of the Nazis. Well, it's not the Nazis. You guys are Bolsheviks. You're sadists beyond compare. I swear, to me, the biggest problem America has is Jewish power and influence. Call it Russian influence, but maybe it's the Russian mafia through Kabbat. Maybe that's the real story about Russian collusion here, the Kabbad collusion. The fact that we have created in Donald Trump, on the one hand, a guy that works on some nationalist levels, but on the other hand, is a diehard Likudnik that gives the Jews everything they want. Hey, Bibi, what do you need today? Trump, I need to shoot about 4,900 Palestinians. Can you send an extra boatload of bullets for me? Yeah, Bibi, coming right up, man. We are big supporters of you. Keep up the good work. That's basically American foreign policy. So basically, folks, by reading the definitions that Jews are trying to install or instill into law, you're going to be able to decipher exactly what they are guilty of. This is typically why you create laws of these nature. You want to stop the process of having a legal action against you for actions you're already guilty of. Very simple. That's why you see all these laws in America too. You know, well, we need to legalize spying. Yeah, that's because you've been spying for 20 years. Now you just want to legalize your illegal activity. The idea of a definition against anti-Semitism is just that. It is a way for Jews to institutionalize criticism of everything that they are already doing today. When they say to you it is anti-Semitic for you to say that accusing Jewish citizens of more loyalty to Israel or to the alleged priorities of Jews. What do you think Schumer, he went on television or he went on and said, hey, my first job, first and foremost, is to protect Israel. And that's the job of everybody in this room. And as he admitted to all of us that Israel comes before the American people. And yet by us saying the truth once again, they want to make that quote unquote a criminal act. Folks, this is tyranny. This is intellectual violence, and it shall be and will be fought back because it can only advance so far down the rabbit hole until it gets stuck, and then it's going to explode back upon these people. That would be my guess. Now, of course, Jews in Israel or in the UK, when it came to this letter, the adopting of these policies by the UK labor movement, they weren't happy enough. It wasn't enough. They want everything. Look, even though we Jews are more loyal to Israel than the UK, we don't want you to be able to say that. You should not have that right. It should be a crime for you to speak the truth. In so many ways, you know, as I stare at Jewish policies, it's becoming increasingly clear that the truth is being criminalized. The truth is being institutionally ground asunder in support of this rather satanic or demonic, subhuman underworld that is this Jewish creation. And perhaps it's always been that way. Perhaps that's why enlightened people the world over for thousands of years have eventually come head to head with this great evil and decided to do something about it. And I know there are those out there that would like to protect their Jewish people. And I got no problems with that, quite frankly. If they're good people, they're good people. But the trust level has been smashed. It's the fifth inside the eye line, intelligent media. For the politically aware background. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware right now. We are, of course, live streaming now on YouTube. So to those of you who have been enjoying the show throughout the show here, get the word out. Try to spread the word and let's get the YouTube numbers up. The radio show is doing great. And everything else, of course, those of you in the chat room, equally inside the live.com, click on the live chat button. That gets you in the door. There equally. You know, one thing I wanted to bring up is the war of words, because I've been involved with this war of words for the past week and a half. And it sometimes wears you down, to be honest, because you get tired of dealing with idiots. But it's just part of the nature of being in this business. You know, from time to time, you're going to have to deal with people that just try to wear you down. And again, we talked about it earlier in the show, and this idea of, look, I don't mind you calling me anti-Jewish, because I am. I have no problem with that. Look, as I can state time and time again, I think Jewish policies are a failure for America. Jewish immigration policies have failed Americans. Jewish dominance of our education system has made the American system a mocking, a laughing stock of the world. We see people coming out of college that are some of the dumbest we have seen than I can ever remember. So Jews are failing us on campuses. The amount of deaths that we have of children through the vaccine industry and the opioid crisis tells us that Jews have failed us. Look, you can't sit there and say we controlled a lot and we're this and we're that and then escape criticism and responsibility and culpability for what's going on out there from your actions. It's very simple. Now, if you want to throw in a charged anti-Semitic hate speech slur, well, we should use your hate speech laws and every Jew that uses this slur, because we know it's quote unquote a trick used to disarm Americans and also to create violent acts against us, then we should start saying, okay, fine, no problem. Call me an anti-Semite. Bring our police down. Take them out. Just throw them in jail for the next 5 to 7 years. Just do it. That's what they're doing, trying to do to people in the UK and everywhere else. It doesn't matter. Heck, you put a piece of bacon. I don't think you need to go to that level, but you put a piece of bacon on a door, at a mosque door, and they throw you in jail and you show up dead in 6 months. Okay. How would you Jews like to have that brought upon you equally? I mean, that's what you're bringing to the British people. That's the message you're sending, that you are so dangerous that really you have to be, quote unquote, taken seriously. And it's not a joke, and it's making its way up into the very highest levels of national debate. It's not just me anymore, folks. I just use one word, Jew. Big deal, right? But the idea, the larger framing of what I'm talking about is now at the national level. Literally, here's Tucker Carlson talking about exactly what I'm talking about, the rhetoric, the dangerous rhetoric by Jewish organizations and the minions that fall below them.
Many the stages of things that are occurring on a daily basis, the obfuscation, the lies, the totalitarian behavior is shocking and horrendous. And we have to be vigilant.
They follow the exact pattern that Hitler has. He is evil. He is evil. And the thing is, I thought, I'll come in and he won't really know because he's not that smart. He doesn't, you know, he'll just do a showmanship thing. But he's evil.
This is about racism. This is pure and simple racism. That's all this is. The people who support him are frightened to death of this country becoming the Browning of America.
Something interesting has happened. As progressives become more authoritarian and less tolerant, they seem more convinced that they're fighting actual Nazis rather than their fellow Americans with whom, in the scheme of things, they have only relatively mild political differences. The more they accuse the administration of extremism, the more extreme they become. And that's not surprising, because once you decide that the people who disagree with you are Nazis, everything is allowed. Why wouldn't you threaten them in restaurants or burn their houses down or who knows? This could very well end in tragedy. You start talking like this and you don't know where it's going to go. Some progressives seem to welcome all that. Quentin James, who's the head of a political action committee that supports Democrats, recently announced that those calling for calm are, quote, accomplices of the current administration. Accomplices? This is the language of total war. It's scary. It has no place in politics. We're heading towards something awful. And the only people who can stop it are the adults on the left. And there are still some. Democratic members of Congress, entertainment figures, religious leaders, media chieftains like Jeff Zucker at CNN or Andy Lack at NBC. They're silent now, cowering and complicit in all of this. But the country badly needs them to cool the rhetoric and rein in the mob. No more Nazi talk on their TV channels. No more screaming at people in restaurants. There's a point of no return, and we are approaching it, and we need their help to pull back.
See, what's happened here, and again, this is now at a national level, with Tucker Carlson on Fox TV. No more Nazi stuff, he says. You know, I've been called a Nazi since the 2000s, and I knew from the very first time that was used against me, precisely the offensive manner. In other words, it was used as an offensive weapon to silence me, to disarm me. And sure enough, 20 years ago, 15, 18 years ago, those who were labeled Nazis, they were fair game. Anybody could go after them. But I was the lone nut, so to speak, on the internet. I was one of the few people out there that actually was raising this issue back in 2003, 2004, 2005. I got trolled, harassed. I was the big Nazi. I was the guy that they were going to go after. I experienced all this. But, you know, I knew I was right. I knew I was solid in what I did. First of all, I had done nothing wrong. I had not spoken anything untruthful. I had spoken clear. I had spoken with a good conscience, a good heart. I had not sought to damage any individual person. In fact, I wasn't really necessarily trying to damage any group per se, other than those who were clearly, in our mind, those who are nationalists, traitors to the American people. Now, as we've seen Jewish laws be advanced further and further, Jews are telling us we are not part of your nation. We are not part of your world. We are a nation unto ourselves. And as such, they should be viewed clearly as an external enemy. If so, the time comes to view them as such. You do not need to sit there and give up people that says, you need to give us our rights to self-determination. But they didn't talk about your right to self-determination. They're saying, look, you need to give us our rights to basically dominate the political process over and above you. And if you don't let us do it, we're going to call you a Nazi. And then we have our media. We have our entertainers. We have our publications. We're all going to shout you down. You know, I found it funny. Tucker, he's saying, you know, the adults on the left. And he goes to mention the mainstream media. He mentions a Jewish guy, right in particular. Well, he's not cowering in silence. He's part of the agenda. All of these professors on campus, they're part of the agenda. All of this Democratic Congress, they're part of the agenda. Look, we have a Maxine Waters out there basically calling for people to almost go out and start burning houses down. This is a very dangerous level. So now I say, okay, fine. If Jews want to use the term Nazi all the time or anti-Semite all the time, recognize this as hate speech, arrest these people for trying to commit violent acts against people. Because as Tucker said, you heard him say, hey, look, once they're called a Nazi, you can do whatever they want to them. Oh, so some Jew punk gets up and says you're a Nazi, and now that we're open fair game for that, and we're not supposed to fight back to that. This is not going to work. It's not going to work. Now, there are two things out there about what's happening, and one of these is the intellectualizing of violence by Jewish organizations on the left. Peter Beinart, I'm assuming he's Jewish, guys. I'm assuming. And he wrote all the way back in August of last year, right around the Charlottesville time. He says, well, look, if you don't want Antifa, you got to stop the white supremacists. Well, okay, why is it that you get to use the term white supremacist, but we can't use Jewish supremacist? Why can't we? Well, there's nothing supremacist about Antifa. These guys are a bunch of clowns, but they're dangerous. And it sucks here. He says, look, if you want to stop white, if you want to stop Antifa, just stop white supremacism. But as you just heard Rob Reiner on that clip from Tucker Carlson, he said, look, Americans are deathly afraid of the Browning of America. Well, now you're telling us that you are indeed looking to implode the demographics of the nation to the detriment of the people who built it and who are still the majority of the people. And you don't want them to even fight back. You don't want them to run for Congress. You just want them to lay down and die and lose their country. This would be the greatest capitulation ever. And it's been largely a very successful capitulation, by the way. Jews have engineered this pretty masterfully. Antifa, when you look at the symbolism of Antifa, it basically is the old German communist rabble-rousers that gave rise to the brown shirts. So essentially, the rhetoric coming from the Jewish community is everybody's a Nazi. Okay, well, if everybody's a Nazi, then you're a Bolshevik. Because again, it's still the same war. It's the same ideological war. And seeing how we're the Nazis and you've declared us the Nazis and obviously you're the Bolsheviks, well, since I've done nothing wrong, I've just sat here and voiced my political will, my political agenda, and you want me to just basically lie down, die, and not even have a say in the future of my own world, then you're denying me my right to self-determination. And what you're saying is that Germany and Hitler was right. But, oh, that's anti-Semitic. No, it's a factual correct. We're just being factually correct at this stage. Excuse me. We're just drawing all the inferences based on crackhead Jewish logic. If. Just start tracking the ifs. If this is this, then this. If this is this, then this. If. Start tracking through the permutations of ifs. If this is true, meaning that Jews are entitled to their self-determination. If that is true, then we should presume that that self-determination lies outside of our nations. Plain and simple. Because if we want to deny Jews in our country their own right to self-determination in our nations, that should be our choice. It doesn't matter what you tell us. That should be our choice. And if we want to deny Israel the right to their own self-determination. That's our right, because we have self-determination. You can't tell us you can have self-determination, but we can't. Again, that's the double standard. You just told us, oh, well, you can't apply double standards that apply to us but don't apply to you. Well, okay, again, how stupid are you Jewish people? Because you just told us that if this is, if we boycott here, you can't boycott Israel. Oof. Again, would you please be clear? Can you get the freaking drugs out of your freaking brains? Get the Chosenite supremacy out of your brains. Come back down to earth and try to speak in a language that actually makes some type of cognitive sense. Because I don't see any of that in the Jewish community anymore. I just see a bunch of hypothetical nonsense. It's not Zionists. They're Zionists. They're not Jews. They're atheists. They're not Jews. Oh, give us a freaking break already, dude. It's not my job to determine who they are. And I don't care because I just listen to what they say. If they tell me they're a Jew, they're a Jew. Hey, you got a problem with that? Take it up with them. See, I never hear all these social justice warrior nutcases who say you can't say Zionist. Okay, look, if you got a problem with how I'm using the language, you go directly to A, B, C, D, E Jewish organizations, and you tell them you got a problem with them and how they're characterizing themselves, because I'm using their characterizations. If you don't like what I'm saying, take it up with Jews, okay? Get out of my face. Just get out of my face. Because if you don't like it, take it up with all these Jews out there. Let's see how far you get. But no, because I'm just a little guy, and you've got all this preponderance of not preponderance, really. It's not a plethora either. It's a preponderance of attitudes out there about what is and is not, quote unquote, anti-Semitic. To me, you're being lazy, dude. You're just trying to attack something that's actually factually true. You know, Trump, for his part, you know, he's done some things that perhaps help national causes, and that's a good thing. Is he compromised to the Jewish lobby / Likudniks? Yeah, okay. They always used to have the same thing when I was growing up. Hey, to bear shit in the woods, you know? Yeah, it's kind of clear. But what's happening now is the rhetoric. We've gotten to a stage now where all of the people, and I've seen it everywhere. I mean, I'm like, I'll give an example, Sheryl Crow. I like her work. Another one, Alanis Morissette, I liked her work. But then I start reading up on their politics, and they're atrocious. Alanis Morissette, she's basically a degenerate. I mean, she's a degenerate, literally. She's all gay pride this, gay pride that. I'm like, what the hell am I giving our money for somebody to just use it for degenerate, cultural, demeaning things here on planet Earth? Why did we do that? Sheryl Crow, she's like anti-Trump. I'm like, Sheryl, just shut up, man. You entertain us. You don't have. It's obviously that you're just gurgling crap out of your mouth, diarrhea out of your mouth, as we used to call it. See, all of these entertainment people that Tucker Carlson talked about, they're not going to speak out because they're beholden to what? The people who run Hollywood, who run the entertainment business. They're Chinese, folks. Just listen to Alex Jones. They're all Chinese. And they're diehard, hardcore Marxist Chinese. Of course, they come from Khazaria. They call themselves Jews, but you have to call them Chinese because this researcher over here told you so. Guys, be aware of what's happening. The rhetoric about now anti-Semite, Zionism, etc. Not Zionism. I got this stupid word on my brain. It's been drilled into me by some idiots. Look, the idea now is very simple. The rhetoric is such that it made it now to the national stage. Tucker saying you can't just go out and call people Nazi this, Nazi that. Well, first of all, guys, who in America uses that term? Do the Chinese use that term? No, come on. Do the Vietnamese? The Vietnamese are too busy working their butts off to try to make it in America to be bothering with what's a Nazi. Germany and Vietnam have nothing. They don't care. The Koreans, the same thing. Japanese, same thing. Is it the French? Well, some French. But it's the Jews, guys. Jewish people are the ones behind the term Nazi. Nobody else. Jewish media. Jewish Hollywood. Nobody else, guys. So Tucker, he doesn't say to you, Zuckerberg, you need to be an adult here and tone down the rhetoric. No, he wants to see it because Jews are destroyers. That's what we must assume. We absolutely must assume this. You know, there was an article that came out in NBC News, and basically they're saying here, they're arguing that Antifa, which is, of course, becoming a household name, is basically justified, that it's something that serves the interests of the American people. So basically, I think what I think I heard Jews tell me here is a bunch of low-life, do-nothing kids who walk around acting tough with masks over their face, dressed as goth. Some of them dress it. The men dress in women's panties. I don't know if you saw that the other day. Some guy was throwing a rock, and as he threw, his shirt came up, and what you could see was pink panties underneath. That's what's happening here. At some point, folks, the rise of Antifa is going to give rise to our own version of brown shirts. We're going to have our own, because if the police in America are going to be standing down, and the police are basically going to do nothing, then the people are going to have a right to defend themselves. There's a story that came out of, I don't know exactly where, maybe it was California, but it showed an Antifa thug, basically a young skinny kid, had a baton, and somebody was knocked to the ground. The kid beat the person on the ground with the baton over the head. That guy suffered some brain trauma. And this big white biker-looking guy came over. The Antifa guy took a swing at the guy and caught the baton. With one punch, completely knocked him cold. And it took like 4 to 5 Antifas to carry the kid off. The guy ended up suffering some major brain trauma himself. The guy was arrested. However, video surfaced and the police let him go. This is the message that has to be sent to the Jewish people out there. If you're going to persist in calling everybody Nazis, and you're going to therefore justify the harm against everybody, ultimately, the violence has to come back to where it starts. It can't just continue on a singular path without the source of it being brought back to bear. So yeah, Tucker's right. Dudes, dial back the rhetoric. I don't want to hear anybody from the Jewish community call me an anti-Semite ever again. I don't want to hear anything about how I'm a Jewish bigot, anti-Jewish bigot. I don't want to hear that type of rhetoric anymore, because it's hate speech. It's encouraging violence. It is intellectually violent. It's dishonest. There are reasons why I'm using the words I'm using. And if you're Jewish and you can follow a certain pattern, I'll work with you. I'm not going to trust you. I'm telling you right up, because I don't trust you. You already know you're from an alien race. But I'll work with you until you prove me otherwise. But at least you know where I'm coming from. That's better than we with the Jewish community. We don't know where you're coming from, because we don't have a kol nidre. We don't have this moral turpitude type of thing to where we can say something to your face today and tomorrow we'll forget about what we told you because we're Jewish. And whatever I told you doesn't matter because I'm a Jew and I don't need to talk. I don't need to honor anything. Now, folks, I've been in business a long time, not successful, but I've been in business a long time, and I've met a lot of Jewish people. It's hard not to. And I've met some pretty decent, ethical, nice people. But trust me, I've met a lot of sleaze, a lot of trash. And the wake of destitute that Jewish businessmen have left behind, let's say in the music industry alone, is just mind-boggling. These are not, again, nice people. They're just not nice people. There's a guy out there, and I don't have his name here, but basically he actually posited this, and this is what's going on across the political spectrum in America right now. His name, I guess it's Bray, and he talked to NBC News about Antifa and basically said something, in fact, it's basically a politics or an activity of social revolutionary self-defense. It's a pan-left radical politics uniting communists, socialists, anarchists, and various different radical leftists together for the shared purpose of combating the far right. But the far right, everybody, is you. The far right is me. The far right is contemporary America. The far right is simply those who want to preserve the last vestiges of European heritage and our way of life, which everybody has come to love. We're not trying to, by the way, slough under the crimes of our militaries. As honest, ethical people, we should be openly critical of the crimes of our militaries, literally, and our soldiers. Dresden, which was British, absolutely unconscionable. The use of depleted uranium in Fallujah, unconscionable. In fact, everybody involved, because this is a modern event, should be frickin' hailed into jail. And if necessary, I don't care if you give them to the Iraqis and hang them, because this is a cruelty beyond any norm of civilized conduct. This isn't humane. These are animals. Those who approve these types of laws or these types of actions are animals. They're not humans. Nobody does that to another human. Period. The issue, again, is what happens now. We now have made it to the senior levels of political discussion about the damaging rhetoric of Jewish speech here in America. Tucker says, dial down the Nazi talk. Dial it down, man. Yeah, I've been dealing with it for 20 years. I'm tired of dealing with it. But now lots of Americans get to deal with it. And that's a good thing, because now all of us crying wolves type of guys that were out there in the wilderness, you're starting to grasp what we've been talking about for 10, 15 years. We weren't speaking in a vacuum. We were speaking from the experience of our own unique experiences. That's not a great sentence, but I tried to finish it. So, folks, look, I don't know where it's headed in America. The anti-fascists, the Antifa groups, they are clearly on the payroll of Jewish money. Many people suspect it's George Soros. Why George Soros is allowed to continue to walk free, I don't know. Why his assets are not simply frozen, I don't know. Why he is not arrested, I don't know. Reforms in America, folks, I know Trafficante talked about this equally, but he said way back in 2008, 2009, if America is going to be saved, the people must take back their government. Now, that is a slogan that Trump actually used, bringing back the government to the people and giving it back to them. It's absolutely critical that this happen. It must happen. And it must happen today, tomorrow, city-wise, you name it. We need to gain control of the American institutions again. It's The Fetch. That's Inside the Eye Live for July 7, 2018. Thanks for watching, everybody. Catch me, Brian Rue, Tuesday, 6 o'clock p.m., Revolution Radio, Studio B. Good night, everyone.